Well, we're moving right along. Week 2 of Colossians. The preeminence of the gospel.
2026. 2026. It is
2026
going
for three
to
Sundays
be,
now.
I know, but I mean, it's going to be like Easter and then summer.
Don't forget Weekender.
Oh, gosh. And it's going to be Christmas. My goodness. I think I've said this before, but those studies show the older you get, the faster time seems to go.
Yeah.
Week 2, the preeminence of the gospel, Colossians 1, 1 through 8.
Here's the funny thing. At least I think it's funny to me. I started out and I was going to call every single one of the messages in Colossians the preeminent or the preeminence of something. And I got halfway through chapter 2 and went, yeah, that's not going to work. And so I started just titling different things. But I really thought I was going to do it. But that was when I thought Colossians was only going to be, you know, like 14, 16 weeks or something and not upwards of 26. And so I can't keep going that way. But anyway, these first few weeks all really center around the preeminence of who Jesus is. And that's very important for us to understand. And so what I wanted to do as we started this is to go back and show what the gospel is. I know Element feels like they hear it all the time, but by the way we live our lives and decisions we make, I swear we do not understand it. And so I wanted to start with what the gospel is and the difference that it brings. And so I actually have 4 points in this. And the first one is that the gospel brings joy, and it is a joy. When you really understand it, if you think Christianity is about working hard to please God, you do not understand the gospel. And if you're walking through your life and you are thinking, if I only did these 5 things, then I can be free, you don't get it. And this is why when you really understand the gospel, that your life is found in Christ and the work that he has done, it can't help but lead to a joy. Now, joy doesn't mean happiness, like everything in your life just goes perfectly and okay, but there's a joy in the midst of that because of what Christ has done. You're secure. You get to walk in him. And then I said that the gospel brings power and is a power, because no matter what happens in your life, no matter what things come at you, when you stand on the solid foundation of what Christ has done for us, that's a power to walk through every single one of those things. Paul says in Colossians 1:29, "For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me." And Paul even said, "To this end, I labor." And people don't like the word labor because it sounds like works. You're not saved by works. You're saved by his work. But when you rest in that work, it brings a power to actually labor for him in the world. And I say the gospel brings grace, and it is grace. This is the result of what the gospel does in our lives. And, you know, there is a thing where we start growing in Christ the moment we believe, but you really see that fruit start to bud and come to fruition as we understand the gospel more and more. There are people who have sat on this podcast before who have talked about how when they understand their sin, they understand it more in terms of grace and enables them to see it more in their lives, the places where God is growing them. And it doesn't make them more depressed that they see more of it. It makes them more thankful of who God is and his grace. Then the last thing I come down to is the good news is essentially Christ himself. Yes, it's the announcement of his good work, but the gospel is essentially Christ, the good news of Jesus, him coming, dying, raising from the dead, giving us his righteousness. Charles Wesley said, "What have we nothing to do?" Which is interesting because he really did kind of focus a little more on works in his life. But Martin Luther says, "Nothing but accept of him who is made by God unto us to be our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, and redemption. He is everything." And so what we want to do is come back to the place that it is Jesus and Jesus alone who is the focus of all the good news that we have heard and that we live in. It must come back to him. Tim Keller says, and talking about the gospel, he says, anybody who says, "Well, I know this stuff, I need something else," he says, doesn't really know this stuff. So this week, you know, what I did is one of the first questions I put in there is, what is the gospel? Which always tends to bring about crickets.
And eye rolls.
I know what it means. Okay, what is it? And then nobody answers.
There it is.
What if we all went around the table and we all
just going to say that.
Yeah. So what if we did that? If we just ran the table and we just succinctly said what the gospel is, because I think that would help GC leaders to know that there's different ways that I think we express it, which is the gospel is that announcement of that good news of what God did to rescue and save us in the person of Christ. And so it really is the announcement of Jesus', you know, birth at Christmas and his perfect life given for us at the cross. And in his death, he takes our sin. He gives us his righteousness, the imputation of that. He takes our death. He gives us his life. He rises from the grave. And so now we get to live and walk in new life. And that's the announcement. You can have new life in Christ because of what he's done. Popcorn Michelle.
To put it differently, that in our broken and helpless state, God gave and extended himself to reconcile us to himself so that we can also be reconciled to one another. And in that invites us into the ushering in of a new kingdom where he's making everything new, including our own selves.
Popcorn Kevin.
I don't know how to follow that. what strikes me as something a little like to focus on a different part, that God in all his divinity became human, mm-hmm. that incarnation, that he loved us so much that he wanted to show his grace and mercy and reconciliation at work by becoming one of us. And then our lives are so valuable that he decided to show us that it was worth living all the way through death. And then by conquering death in his resurrection to show us that because of him and what he has done on the cross to get rid of our brokenness and our sin, that we do have this new life and with him because of his power in us.
It's good news that my salvation, our salvation is based on works, not our work, but Jesus' work, his life, his death, that when we get to stand before God, God will not see and judge us on our sin and our life, our accomplishments, but on Jesus's. And so I can humbly say I'm a sinner. I can humbly say I have fallen short of the glory of God because Jesus has not. And it's his life that I get to live.
Popcorn, you GC leader. The gospel is this one singular truth, but when you really flesh it out, there's so many implications, there's so many ways of talking about it, and that's really exciting. So I hope people connect with that.
Well, it can be contextualized in every situation.
Mm-hmm.
And so wherever someone is right now today, the gospel can be spoken in a way that brings those truths to what that person needs to hear. So it really is good news.
Mm-hmm. So if I'm feeling in a state of failure of some sort, right? Remembering that he did all the work and I can rest in him doing all the work. Mm-hmm. Or if I am in an emotional state, to realize that he empathizes because he became fully human,
right,
to meet us in that time, mm-hmm. and so on and so forth.
That's like, et cetera, dot, dot, dot.
And more.
And more.
That's my favorite phrase. And more.
And more.
Think about people in your GCs or maybe yourself. Oh, Kevin, yours is upcoming, so maybe think about this. What do you think people continually try to add to Jesus to complete us? Like, what do we add to the gospel? What is the gospel plus that we tend to put into our lives?
Everything.
Yeah. And
more.
I mean, I think
and more?
And more. Jesus plus and more.
Jesus plus works, yeah, is obvious. But maybe in our culture, maybe this is also part of like millennial generation, to maybe tag it a little bit. Jesus plus feelings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It can be a good and a bad thing because different churches tend to go in different directions. And you hear people a lot say, I don't feel God. Because it's in America, we've made it all about our feelings. And that's why there are certain charismatic churches which are very popular, because it's about emotion and I felt this thing. But the theology tends to be a little thin. But then you have churches, and I would maybe lump Element leaning this direction, where we are heavy on theology, but we tend to be a little less focused on the emotion of it, because it is both. But when we only go, I don't feel God, that is also a place that could go to immaturity very quickly, rather than, God, I'm going to walk with you through the hardships and through the difficult spaces. You know, it goes back to, like, you know, Mother Teresa, who it's like, God, where are you? Like, she definitely heard God call in her life, felt him when she was young. And then for the rest of her life, it's like God's silent. And yet people think that she lost her faith, and you read her papers and she didn't. She cries out to him, like, mm-hmm. David in the Psalms, like, I'm continuing to do this work in my life because I've trusted you, because of your call. And so it'd be really nice to get past the feelings, but also understand that feelings are also important, yeah, but not the most important thing, yeah, and to have that balance.
Yeah. Right.
We do some on the scholarship side, right? So much scholarship to sometimes twist scripture to mean things that it doesn't mean, right, because my mind, our philosophy is higher than God.
I don't like this. So how do I explain this in a way that I like?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Explain away the truth.
Or it's a lot tidier than maybe the actual complexity and nuance of it. Yeah. And that can be a troubling emotional space to be, yeah, in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think there's lots of things that God will say, this is what I want for your life. Like, what's God's will? And we want God to burn a bush and say, go lead my people out. But, you know, even saying that to Moses, he doesn't tell Moses exactly each of his steps. Who do you talk to first? You go to Pharaoh. Got it. But what about after that? What do I do next? And it's like God leads, like direction, love, serve, glorify, but he doesn't burn a bush and say, this is exactly what you're going to go do tomorrow. Mm-hmm. This is the car you're going to buy. This is, okay, the word you're going to say to your friends. This is it. It's love, serve, glorify. And that's difficult because it makes our lives messy.
Mm-hmm. Like the more easy my life is, the more I feel like I'm going to be in God's good graces. And so like it's, I must've done something wrong. And so therefore something's got, you know, I,
the way we grow is typically through adversity, not through leisure. And so I'm always looking for what, I mean, not in a way that, you know, God's doing something vindictively, but you know, what is God going to do to now stretch and grow me in a new way? And it could be in that comfortable spot. God starts to say, okay, now I want you to grow out of that comfort and use this to touch other people. But I want to grow out of my comfort. Yeah, I know. So that's what's difficult now, is learning how to grow out of that comfort. All right. So what type of freedom do you think then we would live in if we trusted in the good news?
The one that comes up preeminently for me.
Nice. Bring it back.
Is a freedom from fear, mm-hmm, in so many different areas. To trust that he is good and he provides, and to trust that my failures don't define me, but his grace and mercy do. It's just a overwhelming freedom from fear, because he is Lord and he is good and he has already done the work.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Being able to rest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not constantly striving, not trying to do everything on our own power and strength, but relying on the spirits. I think it'd be life changing. Mm-hmm.
I don't have to always look for the bomb to drop when things are going okay. Mm-hmm. Or create my own bomb to drop.
Freedom to celebrate, mm-hmm, right? To actually enjoy good life because he has given it to us.
I think about the freedom to be known. That's a really beautiful result of the gospel to me, is like to be known without shame and without fear, and mm-hmm, and to care less about things that truly are frivolous, like in the scope of eternity. Mm-hmm. Not that they don't matter to some extent, but to care less about what people think or about the specific outcomes, or it's beautiful to kind of lean into that adventure. Like you were speaking to, God doesn't map out every single point along the way. And so we get to really lean into and see where he's leading. And that is exciting. Oh yeah. So one thing that you'll find throughout this series is on the back page of the notes, we're going to have a sentence that's more geared at application for that week or that day. And we hope that's just a point of reflection and prayer, and maybe something you can talk about with your GC or your family, or others in your community. That's our hope, that, you know, beyond the Sunday message itself, that these things will take root in our hearts and be borne out in our actions and the way we see the world and others.
Well, we hope that through this series, through Understand the Gospel, we'll be more free people. Someone explained to me that it's because, like, the percentage of your life, those few months every year, it's getting smaller and smaller, right?
Relative to what you've experienced.
Relative to what you've already experienced. So as a kid, it's like a quarter of your life is 1 year at 4 years old, and so it's forever. And now it's
just like the theory of relativity.
40.
Yeah, your frame of reference keeps growing.
It seems like. Well, and we're busy. We keep getting busier and busier somehow.
And being sucked towards the event horizon of the black hole.